This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've heard us talk about David Femeninio, injury attorney deluxe. Well, just listen to some of the results David has delivered for his clients. $3.5 million, $5 million, how about $11.5 million? Almost enough to cover Ohio State's NIL. You need an attorney that'll fight relentlessly for you. Call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Go to that website anytime at getdavidgetpaid.com. Welcome in, one and all. This is how you know you have a great football team. Rico, on a day off, decides, no. I'm coming in. I don't even know why you're here, but that's okay.
You know what? I would miss you, and I would miss all the texts because I'm like, why isn't Mike texting me? Oh, he's doing a show from 2 to 6.
That's right. So. I guess the way I would start the show is I have watched football that I remember since I was 7 years old. That is my first memories of watching the NFL. In my 37 years of watching the NFL, that was one of the most impressive regular season wins I have ever seen by any team. I cannot tell you. I spent the fourth quarter as a non-Lions fan, but someone who's invested in the team, standing and pacing in my living room. I had a friend and a group of 10 people at the game. Guys, I said this in August sitting next to Rico at Circa. I will say it to you again. The Detroit Lions are winning the Super Bowl. And you can fight it. You can be scared of it. You can say, la, 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 I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me nice things. You're winning the Super Bowl. Because only great teams do what you did last night. Rico, 23-7. I don't want to hear about largest comeback in NFL history, and that was only 16 points. The way the game was going, that was a nightmare in every way, shape, and form. First of all, two of Goff's, quote, interceptions were as fluky as it gets. Just bad luck, right. Nonsense.
Especially the second one that bounced around.
Correct.
I don't include the Hail Mary. I just don't because it was a Hail Mary.
I don't count Hail Mary. I agree with you totally. But the point is, all in, he had five turnovers. Problematic. Doesn't matter. Well, wait. They're an offensive team who leaned on the defense. And even though they don't have much of an exterior pass rush, Aleem McNeil went full Aaron Donald. Brian Branch to America, not to us here in Detroit. We know he's a Pro Bowler. He announced himself as one of the top 25 players in this sport. I stand by that comment. And you simply do everything you need to do. There's an unbreakable will about this team. And there was it was like synergy. Campbell's interview out of the half. We need to force some damn turnover interception as he's saying it.
Right, because when he said that, I'm thinking, wait, that interception didn't happen in the first half. I thought they had synced up some video to go with that. I was like, nope. That just happened on cue. Michael, I'll say this. The other reason why I'm here today, I witnessed the best Lion victory I've ever seen last night. Dallas, you could say, oh, what about the Cowboy game? You know, we won 47-9. Dallas was dead. They didn't want to be there. They were only there to get game checks, okay? Last night was the best Lions game I have ever seen. Why? You had high expectations. You did not live up to those expectations. Matter of fact, you played maybe the worst game ever. But last night, and I can understand why they put the speech up on social media. Last night was a living embodiment of Dan Campbell's speech when he got here. Yeah. We will do whatever it takes. And last night, the Lions did whatever it took to walk off with a victory. Okay, five interceptions. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure they don't score in the second half. Okay, we got to kick field goals because we can't go for it because it's too long. Don't worry about it. I actually like the kicker this year. I'm going to let him kick field goals. He barely made it. Don't care. Does it count as three? Yes. Kick another one. He barely made that one. Don't care. We won the game. Last night was a team effort. The defensive line. People stepped up who we've been waiting to step up. And you didn't have your new free agent on the field. Didn't matter. Jared Goff played horribly. Didn't matter. The team did not quit on the road. And the reason why, I said, Dallas was ready to quit. The Texans were there to fight. The Texans wanted to win that game. The Texans are, Houston radio is probably just roasting this team because somehow or another, since 1970, no one has thrown for five interceptions and lost a game like this. They did. They put up a fight. You put up a better fight. You showed the world, even when we are at our worst, we're still better than you. That's why this game was the best game ever.
And it's on the road. It's against the first place team off 10 days of rest. You didn't have any benefit. And both teams had some injuries. Doesn't matter. I would love to hear from the people. Look, well, there's so much to unpack. There's so many moments. It's just nothing convinces me more that you're winning the Super Bowl than Bates scraping the paint on the upright to tie the game and scraping it on the left upright to win the game. I mean, just there's a magic to this. And Rico nailed it. To win a game when you throw five interceptions, down 14, yeah, once every 54 years. Okay? I've believed since August. I can't change now. I'm just convinced. And look, there's no better coach team in this league. There's no better operation, all three phases. I don't want to hear about Kansas City being undefeated. That was a crock of you-know-what yesterday to block a chip shot field goal and win a game. I don't want to hear it. Kansas City, this team would hit Kansas City with a garbage can.
You know what the difference is? Kansas City and their nine wins, Mike, had to come back eight times. If the Detroit Lions got up on Kansas City, they wouldn't be able to come back.
No, that's my whole point. I feel like they're winning the Super Bowl. We've seen other teams do what the Lions are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's foreign to see their helmet and their uniform, but I just don't hold that against them. They're doing this.
We had people doing the pregame show with Jim Costa, and there was callers and people. Yeah, they were like, I can't believe you guys are doing this. And
doing what?
Like, because we were saying, guys, team's going to win the game. And I said last night, I think the Lions could play a C game
and win.
I didn't know that they could actually play a D game. Like, you barely, your defense showed up. Your offense didn't. And it didn't matter. Your special teams showed up again. Your defense carried you. Goff, just that the accuracy that we saw wasn't there.
Something was up with him last night. Oh, look at how many, you notice how many passes were low or turfed? I don't know what was going on there.
I mean, I guess he's smart because especially if you throw five picks, you're kind of gun shy. I don't want to force the ball anywhere, so I'll just live to fight another down. So, yeah it was plenty of time. Amon-Ra, I'm just going to bounce past that ball to you.
It was very bizarre.
It was not very Jared Goff-like.
No, and again, the O-line, we got to be careful. Like, everyone's allowed a bad day at the office. Houston, thank God they didn't have Will Anderson. Because the pressure they were getting without him, I don't want to see what that would have been with him. Goff got absolutely murdered last night. Murdered.
Yeah.
And he's still there to make the plays they need. Defensively, look, this is why I'm so all in about this season. You're not keeping Aaron Glenn. You're not keeping Ben Johnson. This is the last dance right here.
See, Ben Johnson, I think, may stay. I don't think he wants to be a head coach, and that's okay. It's not a slam on him. I think he just loves and appreciates, all I got to do is run the offense. All I got to do is just have meetings with the offensive the different units, I don't have to meet with the media. I don't have to do all the publicity stuff. I don't have to kiss babies. I don't have to do any of this stuff. I could just run the offense and come up with all types of plays. Aaron Glenn wants a head coaching job. Last night, that was his audition tape. Last night, that was his interview. I fully expect him to be a head coach somewhere. Yeah.
Well, and they put the, it was like a vice. They just kept tightening, like a tourniquet. They kept just tightening it and tightening it and tightening it, more aggressive, more at the line of scrimmage. Now, look, some of the reason they got burnt on a few plays is they have no pass rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were blitzes they were bringing in. Nobody won. You're creating an extra rusher, and Houston keeps the back in. Nobody of the six people you were bringing, nobody could win. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a distinct problem. Now, Za'Darius Smith hopefully helps with that. But I'd like to know from you guys. I mean, give me your takeaway of it. Can you finally say, like, yeah, we're doing this? I mean, there's so many things for us to talk about. J-Mo played a huge role last night. Couple of ridiculous catches. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Penei Sewell, Ben Johnson with the call of the game, deep in your own territory on a third down, and we're going to run this fake out screen that
like
got
a wheel route. Yeah.
Yeah, Sewell on the edge, and now he's murdering Bullock, their safety, and just all of it. Brian Branch was everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. This should let you know that you kind of arrived last night. You got what you've always complained about, Detroit. You got the favorable call at the end of the game.
Oh, on the PI?
Oh, it was PI. Well, but you know, and it was a guy who's had PI called against him all season long. Mm-hmm. But because your defense plays so well, the refs gave you the benefit of the doubt and said, no, that was just a bang bang play, and we're not going to throw the flag. Now, when you rewatch it, yeah, it was. If you're a Houston fan, you're probably screaming bloody murder the way the Lions fans did with the whole Dan Skipper is eligible thing. But it shows you this is how you're perceived. Your defense was so elite last night that referees gave you the benefit of the doubt late in the game, and they didn't even question the fact that it was a PI.
It's a point of arrival. I'm with you. I can't be more impressed. And the sick part is 23-7. I didn't feel like they were done. I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you that I expected victory, but I just felt like they're not done. And then once they scored and it's 23-13, you're not done. You're in this. Mm-hmm. Once it got to 23-20, I was convinced they're winning. This is happening.
I got convinced when they blew the wide, Tank Dell, wide open.
Well, Stroud just put too much air under it. He waited too long. You gotta throw the ball.
That would have made it 30-13. And at that point, go ahead, wave to the crowd, goodbye. Instead, it was another Lions party in the concourse. I don't know if you've seen the videos, but they were out there hustling in the concourse, screaming, you know, we're deep. Like, Lions fans showed up.
I would say
took
it was
over
60-40.
Right.
60% Texans, 40% Lions. This Detroit takeover thing is a thing.
Yeah.
It just is.
But they were chanting, everywhere we go, we're deep.
I don't know what that means, but okay. 248-539-9797. I could make a joke, but it's too early to anger you.
All right. This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right, 3 o'clock. Great, great off-air conversation with Jeremy Otto. So we've lost Rico for a minute. You going to be okay?
I am. I'm good now.
All right.
I had to get some of that lemonade.
There you go. So if you want to hear a conversation about Scott Harris, the Free Press, Tigers, Odyssey.com, Rewind. We did 4 hours of Lions yesterday. We will mention it a little later today. Unbelievable victory, truly. And if you want that, Odyssey.com Rewind goes back 24 hours. It's one of the most impressive regular season wins that I've ever seen from any NFL team. It was truly awesome. But we have a lot of other stuff to cover. And I have to bring this up because nothing in this world upsets me more than what I call coaching malpractice. I'm just a big believer that beyond wins and losses, your job is never be the story for hurting your team, ever. Can we have a conversation about Sharon Moore? Can we do that for a moment? So I thought they played a very credible football game, and let the record show I was the only one Friday who felt they would play a credible game. But Sharon Moore, he did something like he channeled his inner Jim Caldwell. At the end of that game with about a minute and a half to go and having three timeouts, Indiana gets a first down. Called the timeout. Tick, 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 tick. Gary Danielson is having a meltdown on the air. I mean, he was just like zappity-doo-dah. I don't know what's going on here. You got to call the 28 or 29 seconds goes off the clock before Sharon calls a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, his answer was, in a word, na-na-poo-poo. We were having conversations about play calling. No, Sharon, I didn't ask you, why didn't you answer my phone call during the game? You know, I was a little busy.
Right.
You were having conversations about play calling? Here's an idea. Timeout, conversations. Not conversations, timeout. Okay, now I am saying, if I were a Michigan fan, that's the red flags with Sharon are just about everywhere. I think there's been a complete mishandling of the quarterback situation, both in the offseason and in season. However you've ended up with Kirk Campbell as your offensive coordinator, all the way to some challenges that resemble Kenny at the bar, hammered. It's a fumble. Wait, what? When the announcers are making fun of your challenges, you know it's bad.
Right.
Into Caldwell time management malpractice. So, Rico, may we ask the question?
Yes.
Michigan fans, what do you want to do with this guy? And that's before three dirty letters that are 9 days away, potentially, N-O-A. What do you want to do with this guy? Because I'll tell you, What the hell, man?
I'm watching the game Saturday. Not a Michigan fan. I know. Breaking news. And I was shocked because I was one. I thought it was going to be orbital ramming speed when it was 17-3. I'm like, yep, this thing is just going to go off the rails. And then Michigan came back. And then Indiana's panicking. And Michigan seemed like to be the better team at the end. And Indiana kicks the field goal. I'm like, okay, you're still within a score. They didn't score a touchdown. You didn't give yourself a chance to win the game. You let 28 seconds tick off the clock before you finally realize, oh, wait, timeouts. Use one. Come on, man. You have to be better than that. It was a one-score game. If they were down by 10 points, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I'm not a Michigan fan. I'm at the TV yelling, Sharon, call the time out. Call it. No? Are you just going to consider? I mean, it almost felt like the Bucks last year against the Lions when the coach just said, well, we're not going to even try. We'll just go ahead and let the clock run out. We'll just take this L.
Michigan fans were upset with Sharon Moore 6 weeks ago. And since, you know, they got flatlined by Oregon, you lose to Indiana,
Look, I would like to know where you're at with your coach. What's your belief in this guy? And I'd love to bring up Michigan State, but that's just not going to really draw much of a response because we have a dead program right now.
But see, I think it's different from Michigan State. I think Michigan is too big of a brand to have a coach learning on the job. Michigan is a brand name. It's Blue Magic.
Mm.
When you go to Michigan, you're already established. Now, you may have to establish a different culture. You may have to establish a different system, but it's a system that you've run before. Moore is literally, I mean, it's almost like the water boy. I just see him with a book saying coaching for dummies. Like, well, why did you make that move? Well, it was in the book. Like, it's too big of a brand to have somebody this new, and he looks unprepared. Let's just call it what it is.
So my question is, what do you do? I mean, if you're a Michigan fan, and it depends how invested you are, but I mean, who's your quarterback? And who's your quarterback next year? They lost the only one they had, and it doesn't look like Bryce Underwood's going to go there. It seems like he's going to LSU. All right, you're going to go to the portal? Oh, okay. Very risky. I mean, obviously, if you spend $3 million bucks and go get Cam Ward 2.0, respect. But go look at the portal. Go look at the amount of quarterbacks. There were 67 of them in the portal last year. Not everyone walked away a happy buyer. A vast majority didn't. So my question is, what's your faith in Sherrone Moore moving forward? I mean, David, your head is down like your Nona died. You're the Michigan fan. I'd like to hear from you.
Well, here's why. Because we use the F word on this show.
Fair.
Oh. And I've tried... I've tried to be fair, and Mike, Rico, you brought it up. Yes, 6 weeks ago, there were inklings from Michigan fans saying, oh, he has to go. He has to go. And I was trying to be fair. You know, whatever. Let him have his time. Give him a chance. First-year head coach. But every step of the way, he's shown more and more that he doesn't know how to do the job. That is a simple mistake. You cannot make that mistake. That's something that you say, oh, I'm never going to do that. I have three timeouts. You call one. You have a chance to get the ball. You call one. That's an easy coaching decision. This, we were trying to decide on the play call. And what is that? That doesn't, I don't get that. And every week he's on the morning show and they've asked him about play calling and Kirk Campbell. And his answer every week is, well, I'm not ready to address that yet. I'm not ready to deal with that yet. Well, when are you going to deal with it? You're the head coach. Yeah. You are the head coach. Deal with it. Either tell us, I'm just fine with Kirk Campbell being our play caller, or, you know, we're going to look at some things. We're going to tweak some things. But don't give me, I'm not ready to deal with that yet. That's not acceptable to me as a fan. That's unacceptable for the Michigan program. I'm trying to be fair, and I think right now where I'm at, move on.
Just move on. God.
I think I'm ready.
248-539-9797. David, so you're saying just at the end of this season, just be done. And go. I normally am you got to give a guy a try. And maybe it's because I got too much respect for your school. Michigan is not a school where you, like, go to Eastern. Go to someplace else. You go to Bowling Green as a first-year coach and you make your mistakes. You're not allowed to do that at Michigan because everybody wants you. You're the circle game on everybody's schedule. Oh, we're playing Michigan. Oh, we got to get up for this game. You can't walk in there saying, hesitating on your play calling. A challenge. It was an incomplete pass. Everybody saw it was an incomplete pass. I'm going to challenge you. Why? Okay, hold on. Let me review it. It's an incomplete pass, Dill, and thank you for that timeout. He doesn't appear to be ready for this position. I'm not mad at you, David. I just didn't know if Michigan fans are willing to give him another year. I'm not blaming him for the fact that you got to beat Northwestern to be bowl eligible, because I think that the previous coach really put him in a bad spot. But I am questioning the fact of why didn't you go out? Well, actually, take that back. I know why you didn't go out to try to hire a real coach, because of the cloud over your head. So never mind. Strike that from the record.
Rico would like a do-over.
You know, sometimes you just get to talking and then that's why.
I almost slipped up and slandered Michigan State but I'm avoiding it because I don't want to confuse the audience.
But see, like I said, but I think it's at least you, especially you, you watched him at another school. Now, it may not work.
I know. I just,
Rico. But you don't get to just, Ohio State can't hire somebody.
When you see a University of South Florida logo ahead of Michigan State in recruiting rankings, none of what I like about you matters.
Understand.
I just going to stay on task.
Let's stay focused.
But you have a point there, Mike, because that's how I am with Sherrone Moore. And I'm just going to put it out there. As a black man, I want to support him. And that's why I was being fair, because at Michigan, I seen it at Texas, where they let the black man have the job, and then they immediately went after him on the first mistake. So I tried to be fair on that.
Time out. The man was wearing a mock turtleneck in Texas. You got to fire him. That's psycho behavior. It's 95 degrees.
David, trust me, he ended up shooting himself in the foot for doing something totally different. But after Tucker lost to Rutgers the first game, there was a lot of people already saying, oh, we hired the
wrong guy. And I was trying to be fair with him, too. I was trying to support. But it's just, at some point, you got to realize, maybe this person can't do the job.
Kenny's getting yelled at, apparently. All right, 248-539-9797. But it was really the malpractice of the weekend on a coaching level. And want to know where Michigan fans are at with it. I mean, it just, I don't know what to say, because I was the person who went, guys, you're crazy wanting to get rid of this guy 4 or 5 games into his career. But in the last 3 weeks, I mean, the challenges that are just like drunk guy at a bar, the quarterback shuffle, and now really just malfeasance on the sideline with timeout usage.
Right, and you're also benching your best running back because he didn't practice hard in practice, Khalil Mullings.
Or it was a faux suspension.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I'm not allowed to say that because I went to school somewhere else.
So. That's true.
I'll just be a good little boy and just sit here.
Yeah.
Go Blue. How
about this?
Okay. And also, wellness check. We did hear from Nick yesterday. Not that he's doing well. James Franklin may kill that man. All right. 3 o'clock. I will get to your phone calls. We still got people who want to rant about Big Noon Kickoff. I have to take you to the Tigers whiteboard, and I need to know if you'd like an eraser. Now, let me start here at 3:03. I want to make sure we state things very clearly for the court records. That way you can go back and listen and read them. It's very simple. We're going to judge the Tigers not on what they say, but what they do. But all we have right now is what they're saying. Another day, another piece, another comment. Free Press, Petzold, Scott Harris. The Detroit Tigers have a plan at the shortstop position. The plan involves Harvey Baez. Editorial, it's Javi, but I refuse to call the man by his name. If all goes as planned, Baez and Trey Sweeney will share the shortstop position in a platoon. Quote, it makes sense on a whiteboard, President of Baseball Ops Scott Harris said. The GM meetings in San Antonio, we'll see how they perform and how they respond. First thing, got to get Javi healthy for it to even be a possibility. I feel better about the shortstop position now than I did as recently as 5 months ago. Close quote. Whoa, buddy. So here's what I want to do.
This ain't real.
No. Hold on. Fair is the F word we like most. So here's how I want to approach this. Rather than just have people get all bent out of shape because of the mere mention of Harvey, I want to take the things that are being said and I want to put them together like a holiday gift basket. We don't have what they're going to do. The only thing we're going to judge on at the end of this is what they do. I don't know that this is happening, but this is what he said on record at the GM meetings. Okay? With a straight face, they want to take the most hated athlete in Detroit, and up until his injury, a man who was on pace to put up the single worst OPS in the modern era of professional baseball, a man who had a -8 defensive run saved, a man who hurt you every time he took the field, and they want to use him as a platoon with Trey Sweeney. Now, I am only left to think one thing, which is they refuse to write a check to buy him out. Sorry, that's what I have to be led to. However, you have Harvey still a part of the team. You have don't want to sign any free agents to term. Want a one-year arm. Guys, with everything you're hearing from your Detroit Tigers, are these words killing whatever good vibes we had from the miraculous, and make no mistake, it was miraculous playoff run? Because they've killed mine. Now, again, it is only what they're saying. What you say and what you do are two different things, but guys, they're not saying anything I like. From not wanting to commit to anything over 3 or 4 years with a bat, well, that takes you out of any legitimate bat we've all discussed. Takes you out of a Santander. It takes you out of an Alonso. It takes you out of a Bregman. You might be able to get Christian Walker, but you're going to bid against the Yankees for it. Does that give you good feelings? Probably not. 1 year arm. All right. Well, then I guess we're just going to go back to the Lethal Weapon 3 Lorenzen bin. Okay. A shortstop platoon of Harvey. Well, that means you're not buying Harvey out. I mean, again, I'm careful with this. I'm only going to judge them on what they do. But we are not going to sit here for 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, and just let it play out. We got to talk about it. Guys, what is your faith that at the end of this team's going to have an offseason? We all look at each other and go, okay, this is good. Here's a quote from Scott Harris. This is truly remarkable here. I'm sorry. But I would need him. Like, I would have to be polygraphed to say this. If he comes back and he can rotate the way he did, certainly in Chicago with the Cubs, from 2014 to 21, that guy's dead. He's dead. He's one of the ghosts that Bill Murray met in Scrooged. Dead. There's a role for him on this team. We're just focused on trying to get him healthy first and seeing what a greater ability to rotate will do to his swing. What on earth? I think our team is better positioned for him with the addition of Trey Sweeney and a bunch of left-handed bats in the infield. It means there's a real role for a right-handed bat that can play anywhere in the infield. Guys, anybody out there? Anybody. I'll pretend I'm doing radio at 3 a.m. Is anybody out there? Rico, you can't possibly expect fans.
No, you can't.
You can't. That's insulting.
What you just told fans, and you said it so eloquently. We don't want to cut a check. We're going to figure out a way to rebrand him.
That's what it feels like, sounds like.
Right. He's going to be platoon. We're going to have... Remember, coming from the team that Frankenstein third base knew this season, Frankenstein part two.
So here's the totality.
The shortstop.
Here's the totality. As we sit here on November 13th with what Rico just said, Baez is going to be a part of this team. Oh, we got a platoon. There's a role for him here because now, hey, look, we got all these lefties. He could be a right-handed bat. One-year pitcher. Well, that takes you out of getting anybody we care about. And we don't want to sign any term with free agents. It's the Iser plan. None of these things align with hot damn, it's time for us to go out and win the World Series.
Right, because this works if there was a big ticket item. I mean, like a Shohei Ohtani type, a Juan Soto type of item that you're purchasing and you're saying, okay, guys, we can't afford anything else, so we're going to have to make do, but we gave you this, except for they're not giving us this. It's Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of side dishes.
Ready for this? Petzl just puts it out there. They're not buying him out. Quote, there's a relative scarcity of shortstops out there, Scott Harris said. A lot of teams are looking for shortstops right now. The best version of Javi can still really help us. There's still a role for him on this team. I'm going to throw the number out rather than erupt. I don't think that serves anyone. Because once again, I can't turn myself into a pretzel on what he's saying. I have to wait until I see what he's doing. But the very idea that he is setting the dinner table and putting a seat and a place setting for Javi Baez, it is beyond insulting. beyond insulting. You have a payroll that is the better part of $90 million under league average. And what you're telling me, inadvertently, what you're not saying, but what I'm gleaning from the comments is, we're not going to cut a check. And open up, here's some more Javi. But I'm full. Open sesame, here comes the airplanes, Javi. But I'm full, Javi. I don't want a bum at shortstop, Javi.
No. I don't have Javi. Here's a little helping of Javier.
Javier. See, you guys know him as Harvey. We want to introduce you to Javi. No, they're the same. No, they're not. This one has electrolytes. 248-539-9797.
It's like Brando.
Can I hear from the people here? Here's the other problem, guys. You can't even act like Baez is a good defensive player. He's not. And you can't act like Sweeney's a good defensive player. He's average. So you're openly telling your fans, we'll just have an abyss at short. Because we won't write a check. That's what it sounds like, feels like, looks like. So when you put the comments together, why am I supposed to be nice to this team? Why am I supposed to allow people to defend this owner and Scott Harris? See, if you want a small market baseball team, you can have that. I don't want that. I'm not a bad person for not wanting that. This isn't a small market. This isn't Tampa, who doesn't have a stadium. This isn't Oakland, who's going to be playing at the Cal Expo Rodeo. This isn't Cincinnati or Pittsburgh. This is a high-end, middle market, low-end, big market. It's a wonderful sports town. I think that what I'm hearing, it disgusts me. But I will attempt to show personal growth in the name of you, the listener, and my guys here with the show. And I want to try to be mature. I'm not going to melt down. But this is disgusting. If this is true. If this is true. 1 year arm, short-term bat, won't buy Javi out. Even better, open up. Here's Javier. It's short. The fact that I may have to look at Javier Baez on this baseball team and the fact that Scott Harris thinks we are stupid enough to accept rotation and he can be valuable. What metric would he be valuable? -8 defensive runs saved? A guy who hasn't been able to hit in years? A guy who's gotten progressively worse here? This team made the playoffs, Rico. Miraculous or not, they did it. And instead of wanting to take the next step, I feel like I'm at one of your stupid swap shops. The rest of the league is at Neiman Marcus, and here's Rico buying a boombox, a parakeet, and a copy of Spider-Man 1. I leave it to you guys. 248-539-9797. Rico, David, Kenny, you guys figure out what to say because I've said everything I have to. Be curious. I'm curious to know what the hell they're doing.
I have no idea, but we'll talk about that next. Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. We've got people that want to rap about Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. We can do that, but we want to mix something in. And I hate that in 2024 we have to do these like PSAs because people are so sensitive. But here we are. I am not mad at either side. I'm not mad at Michigan football. I'm not mad at Bryce Underwood. I can say something makes sense, but still say it's a sad look. So today, reports come out. Now, I am very careful with the NIL stuff because, frankly, nobody can ever give you actual numbers on what actual people are actually getting. So when you see a report that Michigan has now upped the offer to the Belleville superstar quarterback to a $10.5 million NIL offer, show me the Carfax. Well, it's over 4 years. Is it?
Are the payments equal? Are there out clauses? Does the kid get to renegotiate? Guys, I have no idea. We're just going to settle on $10.5 million to a guy who hasn't gone to prom yet. And all I have said is this. I actually respect what Michigan's trying because they are largely effed. I mean, they don't have their quarterback decommitted. They don't have one on the roster. Here's the best one in America, allegedly. And he's, what, 25 minutes from campus? Does that sound about right? Okay. But on the other side, I look at this and I go, all right, A, they look like Wayne Diamond. They do. Baby, booby. I mean, they just look like the old creep at the bar trying to pick up a 25-year-old. It's pathetic. Like, guys, you won three Big Ten titles and a natty, and you couldn't get this kid to go to your school. So now you're just like, well, what if I let your friend go on my boat? Well, what if we get on my private jet? Oh, what if we go for a helicopter ride? You're like raising this ante to a point where, and Rico will have way more of this because Rico did some beautiful research. Guys, I'll just say on surface, I don't care if it was Michigan, Michigan State, whatever. Paying $10.5 million to a high school football player is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. I mean, I get what you're trying to do. It's on the off chance that he actually is him. But what Rico's going to show you is the reality of like, hi, I'm Jackson Arnold. Like it's a disaster most times.
Yeah, it ends up. Well, here's the thing, Mike. If you bring him in, and let's just say he goes to Michigan, you pay him the money, everybody's happy. He's your starter day one. You're married to him, for better or for worse. I don't care how many picks he throws. You have to keep starting him, and you have to keep playing him. Why? You got to get your money's worth. There's no turning around now. Where are you going to? Because nobody's going to follow him up because he's getting all the money.
Gets hurt. Backup is electric. Season turns around. Doesn't matter. It's Bryce's job. Yeah. Has a terrible injury. Might not be all the way back. Expects his job back. Like what Rico's shooting you straight here. Look, same thing. It's why MSU can't bench Aiden Childs. Yeah. Paying him too much. Now, again, it's a pittance compared to $10.5 million. Let's be clear. But I want to know where you're at as a college football fan, more specifically as a Michigan fan, even more specifically as an effing adult, that I can say Michigan's doing what they think they need to do, and I'm not mad at it at all. I don't think it's a good idea. I do think you look like Wayne Diamond wearing a fashion scarf. I think it's absurd. I think it's sad, but I want all opinions to be welcome on it because, look, you can try, but like you have the research on this.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Present this to the people.
So here's the thing. Your quarterback class, let's just go back just as recently as last year, Mike. Last year's quarterback class, well, the 2023 quarterback class, of the top seven quarterbacks that came out of that class, you know how many are still with their original teams from 2023? Top seven QBs coming out. Arch Manning, he's still at Texas.
Okay.
Your boy Nico.
He's at Tennessee.
He's at Tennessee. Dante Moore.
Gone. He went to Oregon. He left UCLA.
Jackson Arnold.
He just blows. Nobody wants him. That's why he's still with Oklahoma.
Malachi Nelson.
Second team transferred from USC because he couldn't win the job. Went to Boise. Couldn't beat out the little guy they got, Madsen Maddox.
Yeah. Rashada.
He might be in space. He's played for like seven schools.
Yeah, he's been in five different schools, it seems like, before he took a first down. And Aiden Childs.
No, he left Oregon State for MSU.
So it just, you're going to pay this man this money. Chances are he's only going to be there for 1 year. Or you get the other where you pay for this quarterback and he just never really becomes anything. 2022, your best quarterback that year was Drew Aller. Imagine paying $10 million for a quarterback that is Drew Aller, Cabe Klubnik.
He was terrible his first year plus at Clemson. He was.
Yes. Or Ty Simpson.
Who?
From Alabama.
Like I said, who?
Right.
Who the hell's Ty Simpson? He'll be Bart Simpson. I don't know who that is.
He plays at Tulane now.
No, he doesn't. Mensa's their starting quarterback.
Exactly. No, he's there.
Oh,
yeah.
He was the number four QB coming out, highly recruited guy. Ty Simpson went to Alabama.
He's at Tulane.
Yeah.
He got beat out by a freshman. That Mensa kid they start is a freshman. Yes. Oh, dear.
It's a crapshoot. And what I'm saying, I'm not a Michigan fan. You know that. I'm saying, guys, this is a bad mistake. If you not only do you look desperate, but you're banking on a kid, and most first-year quarterbacks, because you're going to start him. There's no such thing as a red shirt. You will not get the Arch Manning treatment, because I think Arch is in a totally different category, because he comes from money. He comes from a quarterback family, and they sat him down and said, Arch, you're not ready. If you go and you start this guy his very first year, there is a 99% chance it will be a failure. It will be lots of pick sixes. It will be lots of interceptions. It will be lots of losing games. It is not what you signed up for.
If I am a Michigan fan, here's what I would prefer. Let's just say he's getting 2.5 per year at Michigan. That makes up the 10 and a half. I'd rather take $2.5 million and go get this year's Cam Ward. Get a kid that's done it at the college level.
Yes.
That I can still, there's a lot of risk to it, but that's where I like, and if I were a donor, that's where I would want to direct my money is I have tape that says this young man can play.
You, my friend, are smart, because if you're listening to what I'm saying, a lot of the top quarterbacks are transferring out. Don't buy the original package. Wait, let it mature somewhere else. And then go and get it if it's good. 2021 class, your top four quarterbacks. Only one stuck with his team. That was Drake May. The top quarterback was Quinn Ewers. Started off at Ohio State, ended up at Texas. Caleb Williams started off at Oklahoma, ended up at USC. Sam Huard started off at Washington. He's now at Utah. That was from your 2021 class.
Oh, wow, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to do. And I know I'll end up disappointed, guys. But I want everyone to feel welcome to talk about this, whether it's just as an adult. And at what level does this become offensive to you? But it's more than that. Like, if you're a Michigan fan, is this what you want? Or would you prefer that, you know, no, just go to the portal. Get a guy that's going to come in here at age 20 or 21, not 17, and spend the money that way. Or do you actually think it's a good idea? I mean, look, I don't begrudge any program for trying, because that's more than what mine's doing. But I wouldn't want this for MSU. I wouldn't. I don't think it's a good idea, because here's the problem. You can say the money doesn't matter, but it does, because it's not the schools spending it. The minute the schools begin funding NIL, I will totally agree with the callers, Rico, and go, it's not my money, I don't care. Spend, 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 spend. The donors, but it's the message in the locker room. And this is the issue I take. How does it play? A, if you're going to do the NIL, it's got to be private. Like, I would hate the idea of showing up at campus, 10.5 mil. What's the vibe in the room? And then the minute you don't look anything other than outer worldly, I'm sorry. The human condition is resentment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the best way. I think if you're Michigan and you want to bounce back from this season, take $2 million and go get insert name here.
Go get the best quarterback in the MAC. Go get the first team QB.
Well, Indiana, they went out and got Curtis Rourke, who was a 2-time MAC Offensive Player of the Year, an adult, legal drinking age. He descended into the system. He knows the playbook in and out. Right. Now you go win. Like, I'd much rather do that.
Because here's the thing. If you go that route, you go get that quarterback, chances are that quarterback may bring his favorite receiver or two with him to that new school. Hey, can you cut my buddy a check for $100,000? He'll join me. He knows the system. He knows how I like to play. He knows where I throw the ball.
Now, here's the thing. And I've read way too many articles about this today than I care to admit. But apparently this news broke this morning. And then what? Underwood took the social media and put out a picture of him in an LSU jersey.
Yes.
So, look, I have no idea what will happen. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. It's an interesting story. It does involve a local school. And I do think as a fan, whether you're for or against it, you have an opinion about it. I think as an adult, a fan of any school, I mean, are we crossing into some really weird waters here? $10.5 million for a high school player? Enrico gave you the Carfax about the failure rate of the Bryce Underwoods of years prior?
I don't know, man. It does strike me as a bit odd to pay a high school athlete more than a guy drafted in the second round of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
That's very strange to me.
I mean, 2019, the best example of this was, it was Spencer Rattler, who came in setting all types of records. He was the guy.
On the reality show, number one QB, Oklahoma, latest in a long line of great OU Sooner. Ass.
Yeah. You know what? You're going to play. They put him in there. As soon as he got there, it was a disaster. The game was way too fast for
him. I want to hear from Michigan fans. I'm fine if you're not a Michigan fan. And I'm not judging either side. If Bryce Underwood said, look, it's too much money to say no to, I'll come here and throw 18 passes a week. God bless. $10.5 million, life-changing money.
Right.
For Michigan, you got donors that are dumb enough to do it? God bless. I don't care. But that allows us to talk about it in real time and go, is that even a good idea? 248-539-9797. Are all you Michigan fans in a hole? Figure it out. We'll get to David, hear what he has to say about it as well. What? No, they're just awfully quiet. I don't understand it. To me, this is a very interesting topic, and it has nothing to do with rivalry. It has everything to do with,
right,
do you want this?
And that's really what it boils down to. Do you think this is a good idea for your school to do this? 248-539-9797.
All right. So it has been hermetically sealed, and now we get to have some fun. We'll do the picks in about 10 minutes, okay? TJ, every week we like to ask you a question,
yes,
generally football related, and we try to tap into your, life as a player.
Okay.
And everybody can partake in this. Serious question. Did James Houston poop his pants? We've all seen the pictures. I'm sorry, but I don't know what brand of Gatorade he's drinking to sit down in that. Can we talk about it? And have you ever?
That went away that I was not prepared.
I mean,
my goodness.
Wait, Houston is artificial turf, right? So you can't even say the field was muddy. Didn't rain.
If I had to speculate,
have you ever seen a player themselves on the field?
No.
Okay.
Out the front side, yeah.
You've admitted to doing as much.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay.
Rainy game.
Can we just level? If you were on the field and you saw what was happening here, don't you go to the refs and go, look, this guy's out here with a blown diaper. Well, you got to get him out of the game.
I tell you what I would do.
Let's hear it.
I told you and I told my wife this. I said, hey, if anything ever happens where you see a stretcher on the field, don't worry. That just means had an accident. If that was me, if
they bring the ambulance out.
That was me.
Wait, is TJ back 5 minutes later?
There ain't no way in hell I'm standing up again. There's no way in hell with the amount of cameras and people watching.
All white.
I'm laying on my back. I'm being Doc. Come out. Hey, what's going on? Your neck, head? Mm-mm. No. Get the stretcher out, put the tent around me, get me off the damn field, because I ain't going to stand up and show my ass to America now.
Yeah, nobody grabbed their nose.
You go back, you change, you come back five. Oh, my goodness, I thought he broke his neck. He's back in the game.
It's like the Paul Pierce later. Wheelchair game.
You're going to have to take me off the field.
Did you see it live?
I did not. I didn't see it till after the game. And, man, I don't want to throw James on the bus, but I think did get confirmation that he something happened.
Whoop, there it is.
Something happened. Yeah. I don't know what he said about it. I think he said he sat on something.
Gatorade. What kind of Gatorade is that flavor?
Oh, buddy,
We're getting confirmation.
Stuff happens.
How though? How can that happen? That particular activity.
I mean, you get hit the wrong way. You get hit the stomach. You get a cut block, and somebody gets you in the gut. Maybe it can happen, but if I were to tell James, you should just lay down on the field, bro. There's no way you can stand up after.
Meanwhile, they're getting a breathless report from the sideline. Like he is moving his extremities.
Yep, he's good.
Yeah, it's because he bleeped himself.
I would give the whole take me off on a cart stretcher. I'd give the whole thumbs up to the crowd. Right? And then 5 minutes later, boom, I'm jogging back down the tunnel, boom, ready to go. Hey.
Wait, is he wearing gray pants now?
There ain't no way in hell I'm standing up if I do that.
I
don't think he hurt himself, but
but
he's changed his pants. I'll leave it at that.
We've noticed some graffiti. Back to you. All right, I had to ask. It was a hot button topic this week.
James, he messed up, dude. He should.
Yes,
laid,
he did.
He should have laid down for the airlines.
Quite literally.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right.
And you've never seen that on the field.
No way in hell I'm standing up.
But you've never seen it on the field. Have you heard of a situation like this as a former player?
With that problem?
Yeah.
I don't think
the only way you can get away with that, if it, like the Green Bay game, if the field is rainy.
No. Baltimore Ravens.
And I just go
Baltimore
flying.
Baltimore Ravens, all black jerseys.
Black pants.
Who would ever know?
Dark pants.
No, but maybe, I'm saying if I'm wearing all white, why don't you just do a baseball slide? Oh, man, I was just celebrating that play.
Yeah, dude, I would just play dead.
Now I'm in the blue tent.
I would have played.
The blue tent saying,
play dead, bro.
Bring me some pants.
Rico, you're playing dead like a bear's around you or something.
I'm laying down on the floor. I'm laying down.
I'm in the blue tent.
Doc comes out. Hey, what's going on?
Bring me pants. I'm not leaving this tent.
Rico, if they bring the blue tent on the field.
No, it's not my neck. Get a stretcher. Okay. In my pants. Get me off the field.
Well, if you haven't seen
I ain't standing up.
The evidence, it's everywhere. And
yeah, he probably
James
learned
Houston had to address it, saying he did. Sat in Gatorade.
And, maybe there was some brown Gatorade on this. I've never seen it, but I'm not. Maybe there was. I don't know. Maybe it mixed with a little bit of red or the yellow and the.
Yes, it's new Gatorade. Zero. I mean,
I'm saying if it was
the chocolate Gatorade.
No, I'm about to say if it was green, I'd say okay. Gatorade. It was the grass.
The picks are next. Now we're definitely done. The picks are next. Thank you for answering that question.
You surprised me. That came out of left field. I had no idea you were going to ask that question.
That's the goal.
That's why I love you, Mike. You come up with those.
James, next time. You need the trainers out there in a hurry.
It's an incredible question.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.